Yeah. That's awesome. Elohim Tov. Kol Hazman. That's what you say when you got your. He's such a cool little guy too. I'm so glad you're gonna get him. So, Barb. When do you get him? When do you get him? Okay. All right. Okay. All right.
Yeah, it's everything.
Okay, it is King's One. Okay, King's One. You guys ready? You got your Bible study with you? Okay, now. It's kind of hard to come pray for me and then we'll get started.
No, yeah. I like this page.
I like that page.
You like that page?
Yeah, I like that page. That's, you always give me more than I ask for. I love it. All right, let's pray in and let's get started, you guys.
Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Lord of Lord, King of Kings, grateful and thankful for this time. And we pray that you guide Pastor Sandy to lead us and that we'll be able to absorb all your words and to be able to be encouraged in these last days. And commit to you the rest of the night. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. I know you guys aren't going to be as shocked as I was when the Lord showed me this yesterday. But I'm going to try and explain it to you guys, okay? You see what I wrote up here? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. You guys know that all of these letters are also numbers, right? Okay, because God, the Jews don't have this. I mean, they use it because the world uses it, but they don't really have this. These are their numbers. So even though this says Bereshit, which means in the beginning, bara created Elohim, God, et hashamayim, the heavens, va'et, and the earth, right? Bereshit bara Elohim, et hashamayim, va'et ha'aretz. But the numerical value of Genesis chapter 1 is 2701. Now, 2701 is like one of the most important numbers in the Bible. But the most important for us tonight is that Genesis chapter 1 and the numerical value 2701 is the beginning of all things, okay? So here we are in 2021 and we're about to be raptured and the world's about to go through tribulation, okay? That will produce the millennium, that will produce Christ reigning and ruling on the earth and then the new heaven and a new earth. So after the rapture, when the world begins the tribulation, that means that's a whole new beginning of time that's going to start, okay? So I wanted you guys to see in Genesis chapter 8, what the Lord showed me concerning this year. So, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 is 2701. I can't even explain to you how important that number is. The Star of David is in there. Everything, every prophecy is in Genesis chapter 1. But this number represents the beginning. So, in Genesis chapter 8, verse 14, at the very end of the flood, when God tells them to come off the ark, let's read the scripture. The scripture reads, and on the second day and on the second month on the 7th and 20th day of the month, the earth was dry. Now, that scripture has a numerical value of 2701. So it is a new beginning for earth, okay? Rather, I believe we're going to be gone before this, because this date of 27th of Heshvan is November 30th and November 30th and December 1st, you know, because they start their day in the evening. So anyway, I believe that this date is going to be the day where the tribulation actually begins and they sign the peace treaty, because this Genesis chapter 8:14, which is the 27th of Heshvan, is 2701. It means it is the beginning and a new thing. So I wanted to see if there was another scripture in Hebrew that equaled 2701. And there is. I'm going to get back to my things in a minute, Pastor Ben.
What page are you on?
I'm on page 2. So all this stuff that's about to happen, where Jesus is going to, where the tribulation begins and Jesus comes and the Antichrist comes, all this is going to happen in 2021 by Heshvan 17th. I believe the church will already be gone before then, because summer is over October 31st in Israel, and the wheat harvest is a summer harvest. And the Lord said, I'm not going to see my birthday, and my birthday is 26. So I was almost about to dance when the Lord told me that. So there's another scripture that has 2701, and that's Micah chapter 6, verse 9. And that scripture reads, it says, listen, the Lord is calling to the city, which is Israel, Jerusalem, and to fear your name, and to fear your name, Yahshua, and to fear your name is wisdom. Heed the rod and the one who has appointed it. Does that sound like the tribulation is about to start? The Lord is calling to the city of Jerusalem, Israel, to fear the name of God is wisdom, and to heed the rod of correction and the one who has appointed it. Okay, so God has appointed that judgment is coming to Israel because of the tribulation is about to start. And that scripture also numerical value 2701. So that is the beginning of the tribulation. Heshvan 17, beginning of the tribulation. The church is gone. We're out of here. So we're in a summer harvest, and the summer harvest is about to. Now, we still have Rosh Hashanah's tomorrow and Friday, right? And I have to look and see in Israel if they saw the new moon. I don't get excited about Rosh Hashanah, but I do get excited when it's still summertime. And it's still summer to October 31st. But, you know, Rosh Hashanah rapture, I am not. Today or tomorrow, I'd be just fine with it. I just want to get my brothers and sisters out of this place, because these people are getting worse and worse, and their behavior is worse and worse. Okay, I'm going to get started in the Bible study, because I have to. But I have to say, my sister Lori, she sent her book. See that, Pastor Ben?
Yeah.
That is awesome. I listened to her give her testimony at a church. But I want to say it's a lady's book, because it's really her testimony about how God really loved her through a lot of pain and stuff, and really kept her, you know. And so I want to make sure that you take this with you. Yeah, I have more over there if you guys want one. So, but I really want you guys to read this testimony. It is amazing testimony. I said something about it in service a couple weeks ago, and she said, wasn't sure if you were talking about me. And I said, yeah, I was talking about you, because I, so praise God.
There should be a little glass looking up there.
Yeah. I saw that, but now I don't know where I put it down. But that was from Karen. And it said, thankful for you all the time when I think of you. I don't know what I did with it, Pastor Ben. You know, it's gone. Pastor Ben, I'll find it later. Huh? No, they're not for sale. They're for you to take one. Okay, good. All right, so let's continue back to this Bible study. Because we're at the end of this summer harvest. Rosh Hashanah is tomorrow or this evening and tomorrow, or tomorrow and the next evening, whatever it is that the new moon arrives. And the world has to change. They're pushing the people of God way too far. Now Israel has green cards that everybody has to have when they're traveling or they go to a restaurant or do anything. If they don't have a green card, they can't even get in. So it's like the world is being pushed and pushed and pushed until God is going to act and take his church. And then the real fight will begin. And then I'm so glad it's going to happen because I want all of them to realize who God is, okay? Because by now we know how evil they are. We know how evil the world is. We know that the lie that we're under, everything, but it's all gonna be judged. And people keep sending bad stuff, and I always send them back a note. I read Revelation, we win. Thanks for the information, but I'm okay. You know, so we're almost out of here. All right, now. The 27th of Heshvan, being the new beginning for the earth, is something that I wanted to make sure that I studied to find out what's going on. Now, let's look at this, because the Lord said I'm getting ahead of myself. Can you do me a favor and go? No, are you on two? Are you on page two? Okay, let's read through this, okay? I hope everyone at home has the... Okay, November 3rd of 2020, last year, right? On the 17th of Heshvan. What's the importance about the 17th of Heshvan? It is the day that the flood started, okay? On the 17th of Heshvan, on the day that the flood started. So the flood started on that day. And if you go down, it says the following is a chronology of the flood as indicated by the dates and the time and the periods given in the Torah. The 17th of Heshvan this past year on 2020 was the exact same day as the election of Donald Trump and Biden. So on that day where the election was going on for Trump and Biden was also the 17th of Heshvan, the anniversary date of the flood. Okay, so the flood truly began at that night because it was all the trouble that led up to the election night was absolutely crazy. Was it not? They were burning down homes up north. Riots were going on all over the country, right? They were doing, and then that whole big old thing they did in Washington, D.C., where people got shot and stormed the White House. Don't you know they allowed them, and all the people that were arrested were Antifa and Black Lives Matter people. So it was nobody there that was for Trump.
Right.
They were instructed to have the Trump flags, make sure everyone thinks you're there and you're doing this for Trump. But it was anything to get this person out of the office so that these demons could continue back doing the things that they were doing before he got into office. And believe me, he was shutting a lot of things down. Okay, so after he lost the election, quote unquote, it says here, Kislev 27th would have been 40 days. It says, so the rain lasting for 40 days. For 40 days it rained. At the end, it was 150 days. But 40 days after, if you go over to page 3, 40 days after he lost, the Senate in December 13th and 14th declared that he was the true, honest, fair and square winner of the election, right? It just so happens that they confirmed it exactly 40 days after the celebration of, or the anniversary of the flood, okay? So I need you to follow me, because you'll see what God did for me later as we went through the year. Now, after the 40 days and they confirmed that O'Biden was the president, then it says here, on Tumas first, the mountain peaks break the water's surface on the 10th month. And then on the 9th of Av, this is when God got me involved. Because if anybody remembers, a month before August, I was saying, everybody thinks that the 9th of Av is July 16th. And I'm telling you, the 9th of Av is not July 16th, because the Jewish calendar is a month off. The 9th of Av is going to be August 16th and August 17th. And that's when this raven is going to be released. And that's when the trouble's going to begin. Okay? So July 16th came, and everybody, oh, it's the 9th of Av. This could be the day. I was like, it's not really the 9th of Av. So nothing happened. And then the next month, on the 16th and 17th, the Washington Monument gets struck by lightning, and then the Afghanistan government surrenders, and now whatever the name of that group of crazies are back over there in control, right?
Oh, yeah.
So that was going on, and we're watching horror. Like, even the people who lived in Afghanistan said they went to bed one night, and they woke up the next morning, and everybody was in the street, and they said, what happened? They said the Taliban took back over the country. So all of that happened on the 9th of Av. So now the scripture said, that happens on the 9th of Av, the very following week, something's going to happen in Israel. How do we know? Because Noah sent out the dove the second time, and he returned with an olive leaf in his beak. And the Lord was letting me know that means the very next week something's going to happen in Israel. So the very next week, something happened in Israel. They had a border riot. People got shot. They're setting fires on Israel's side, and Israel's bombing them. Okay, so that happened right on time, 2 weeks, exactly the way the Lord said. The next week, the dove was released in scripture again, and I was thinking, well, if the dove is released and he doesn't return, that must mean that the rapture happened. So we had a rapture watch, didn't pan out. Now we get to today and tomorrow, tomorrow and the next day, and we're looking for the new moon for the first month of Tishri, which is Rosh Hashanah, the blowing of the trumpets, which many people believe that's going to be the rapture night, okay? I've always said that the Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, are going to be fulfilled at the end of the tribulation, so that's not for the church. But if it happens out when we're on the cloud dancing, I'll admit I was wrong. But I do believe that the rapture is going to happen before the end of this month, and because the summer ends at the end of this month. Now, we have this Rosh Hashanah to get through, but then on the 27th of Heshvan, the scripture says, God speaks to Noah and says, and tells him and his family to come off the ark, okay? So on Rosh Hashanah, he takes the cover off the ark, but on the 27th of Heshvan, God speaks to them and says, come off the ark. So that's the end of the ark trip. That it doesn't go past that. You understand? It doesn't go past that. That's the end of the trip. But this scripture that says, Genesis 8:14, on the 27th day of the month of Heshvan, God spoke and said, come off, is 2701. So this is a new beginning scripture. Okay, and this scripture is in existence for this year. And so on the 27th of, something's going to be going on where the world is going to start new, and I'm thinking that it's going to be the peace treaty. Okay? I'm saying it now, so whoever watching this, we're gone, they can look at it. Okay. Now, on this day, the 27th, on that day, the 27th of Heshvan, do you know what the Jews do to celebrate the day that Noah came off the ark? They read Psalms chapter 20 to 134. So that's their evening scripture reading is Psalms chapter 20, 120 through 134. What Psalms are those? The Psalms of Ascent. But I didn't know that they read that every year on the 27th of Heshvan. And then they also read this. Now, watch this. Go to 1 Kings. Yeah, 1 Kings of chapter 1, and then we're going to start reading here. Now listen to this, and I'm going to instruct you as we go. When King David was old and well advanced in years, he could not keep warm even when they put covers over him. So his servant said to him, let us look for a young virgin to attend the king and take care of him. She can lie beside him so that our Lord the king may be kept warm. And they searched throughout Israel for a beautiful girl and found Abishag the Shunammite, okay? But we'll get into that later. Her name is beautiful. I'm just going to tell you about that. And it says, Abishag the Shunammite, and brought her to the king. So they went out, they found her, and they brought her into the palace. You hear that? Okay. And it said, wait a minute. Okay. And the girl was very beautiful, and she took care of the king and waited on him, but the king had no intimate relation with her. And it says, now, after this beautiful woman is brought to the king to live in the palace, something happens. Watch this. Verse 5. Now, Adonijah, whose mother was Haggath, put himself forward and said, I will be king. So he got chariots and horses ready with 50 men to run ahead of him. His father never interfered with him by asking, why do you behave the way you do? He was also very handsome and was born next to Absalom. Adonijah conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and Abiathar, the priest, and they gave him their support. So not only is this guy Adonijah putting himself forward. Now, who's supposed to be the next king after David? Solomon. And David already promised Solomon, you're going to be king after me. This guy Adonijah is saying, no, I'm going to be king. And then he goes find two other people to agree with him, a priest and a military guy, and say, and now they're all trying to usurp the kingship from the true king. So who do these three people represent? Beast, Antichrist, false prophet. What are they doing? Trying to make themselves king over the earth, knowing that God has already said that Jesus is going to be king. So, but remember, before the false kings come and the Antichrist Before they come, a beautiful lady has to be taken to live in the palace. And who is that beautiful lady? The church. So God is just giving you the same story concerning what's about to happen. Now, on the 27th of Heshvan, one of the customs is to read this story. Why is that? Why is the custom of the story on the 27th of Heshvan, which is the opening of the tribulation and the new beginning, do they read about a new king stepping forth, making himself to be king? Because God is always prophesying to you, telling you what's going to happen before it happens. Well, anyway, Adonijah sets himself up as king. He has his two friends, and they all get a party together to celebrate he's going to be king. But then Solomon's mom went to the king and said, "Hey, what is this going on? You said Solomon was going to be king." He said, "Adonijah already made himself king." And he said, "No, you get a donkey, put it on, and put my son Solomon on the donkey and march through with my military and drums and let them know who the real king is." And it said when Adonijah heard the real king coming, he got so scared he ran to the temple and grabbed a hold of the horns, hoping not to die. So you have to understand that a false king is coming, but not until after the bride goes into the palace. Not until the church leaves and goes into the palace will the Antichrist come. And that's the story that's being told here. Now, this is from Kabbalah.org. They read this on the 27th day of Heshvan every year, representing the beginning of the tribulation. Okay, what else do they read? Let's go backwards. They read Genesis. I think it's...
Is that
twenty
six?
Is it 26? It looks like 26. Yes, they read 26, but the story that they read is on the next page. It says the parashat, then they read, be like Eliezer, ultimate, who knows what an emissary is. That's a person who goes out on a mission to go and find somebody as a ambassador. You go out on a mission. So Eleazar, the story of Eleazar is the story that they tell. What is the story of Eleazar? Because this is part of the 27th of Heshvan. The story of Eleazar is Abraham pulls Eleazar into his room and says, I need you to do me a favor. I need you to make sure that my son doesn't marry any of the women of the Canaanites. You need to go to where I'm from and go and find my son a bride and bring her back here. What does Eleazar mean in Hebrew? The helper. Who's the helper? The Holy Spirit. So what is the Holy Spirit here to do? To find a bride and bring the bride back to the king. Because she's got to go in the palace before the Antichrist comes. You understand? So all of this is being told to let you know. So Eleazar goes, he finds this bride. They're telling this story on the 27th of Heshvan because it's part of the readings that they do to celebrate this end of the flood. Okay? So all of this is going on to let you know that this coming time that we're in is representing not only the end of the church, but it's also representing the beginning of a new thing that's going to happen on the earth. Because if you read, now watch this. Go back to the front of the page. Okay, where's the Hebrew portion? Do you see? Okay, look at the Hebrew portion. And I don't know if you can read it, because I don't know if you read Hebrew or not. But the very last word in Hebrew, on the top and the one on the bottom, is it the same word? Haaretz. It's the earth, okay? Both words end like this is something that's going to be happen in the earth, okay? Genesis chapter 8, 14. The last word in the Hebrew is this is something that's going to happen in the earth. So the new beginning for earth is when? 27th of Heshvan. The church may be gone, but somebody may be signing a peace treaty on that day, okay? And that's plenty of time after we're gone for them to set up the tribulation, okay? Now, I wanted to read something to you guys. And hopefully, oh, there is. Here it is. Listen to this, you guys. Eve and the serpent. Okay, listen to this. This is from the book of Jubilee. Thank you to Linda Sorcy. She sent me this. She gave me this book. Okay, now listen to this. I want you guys just, okay, watch this. In verse 3 in the book of Jubilee. You don't have it, but here I want to read it to you. So, because listen to this. It says, and he tilled the ground, talking about Adam, and was naked and knew it not, and was not ashamed. He protected the garden from the birds and the beasts and the animals, and gathered its fruit and ate, and put aside the residue for himself and for his wife, and put aside that which was being kept. At the completion of 7 years, which he had completed, there was 7 years exactly they were living in the garden, Adam and Eve living in the garden. After 7 years, listen what it says. In the second month, on the 17th day of the month, the serpent came and approached the woman, and the serpent said to the woman, "Have God commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden." Now, what day did the serpent come? On the 17th day of Heshvan, which is the exact same day that what? The flood started. So you telling me that on the day that Eve spoke to the serpent was the exact day that God started the flood. So when I'm telling you that dates are important to God, you have to understand he's setting up dates and times because they're appointed dates and they're appointed times. Okay? Let me go over to the next one here. Okay. All right, I'm going to start reading right here. And it says, and he commanded Noah to make him an ark that he might save himself from the waters of the flood. And Noah made the ark in all respect as he commanded. And on the 27th Jubilee of the year, in the fifth week of the fifth year, on the new moon of the first month. What Jubilee was it? The 27th Jubilee. The 27th Jubilee and the number 27 is important to God. This is why we have Heshvan 27, because this happened in the 27th Jubilee. So God is setting up dates according to what happened in the past, okay? Can go to this story. Put this book away. And if you're in Genesis, let's go back there. I'm on, let's see, 22. Okay, I'm in chapter, I'm in 22. Chapter 22. Okay, I'm sorry, 24. Go to 24, please. Okay. Now, I was going to read 22, and the only reason I was going to read 22, because you need to know that Isaac went on top of the mountain to be sacrificed. We know about that, right? Mm-hmm. Isaac goes on top of the mountain to be sacrificed, but he ends up not dying. Who carried the wood to the sacrifice? Who carried the wood at the time of the crucifixion? Jesus. So Isaac was representing Jesus Christ. On the third day, they got to the mountain, and Isaac carries the wood, and then he said, don't sacrifice him, don't kill him, right? And he tells them, you know, so then Abraham gets his son back, but when does he get his son back? On the third day, okay? When does God get his son back? On the third day, okay? So that whole thing with Isaac is representing what Jesus Christ did. Now, what a lot of us don't realize is that after he tells them not to kill Isaac, it says Abraham and his servants went back home. The book does not mention Isaac again until the rapture, until he meets his bride. So if you read this again, watch it, because after he says don't kill him, all of a sudden Isaac disappears from the reading. And you don't see Isaac again until you see him with his bride. So here we're in chapter 24, and we're reading what the Jews call, let me see the name of this. They call this, oh, be like Eleazar, the ultimate emissary, which means the ultimate person sent on a journey to do something, okay? Now, why do I have this? They read this on the 17th, on the 27th of Heshvan, okay? Because during the time of Esther, they read about Esther. During the time of Passover, they read about the Passover, Egypt, right? So every year as they're reading through the Torah, they're reading about certain things that happened in the Torah. Well, on the 27th of Heshvan, they read about Eleazar, the ultimate guy sent on a mission, okay? So here it is. And it says, Abraham was now old and well advanced in age, and the Lord blessed him in every way. He said to his chief servant in the household, the one in charge of all that he had, put your hand under my thigh. I want you to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I'm living, but you will go to a country and my own relatives and get a wife for my son. Eleazar means the helper, the Holy Spirit. This is God talking to the Holy Spirit. My son Jesus is back in heaven. So Holy Spirit, it's your time to go. Go down there, find my son a bride and bring her back here, right? Now watch the instructions. As the servant asked him, what if the woman is unwilling to come back with me to the land? Shall I take your son back to the country you came from? Make sure you do not take my son back there. So Jesus is not coming back here to get his bride. Okay? So that means you have to leave, because the rule is he's not coming back here for you. He may come down to a cloud, and we'll see that at the end, but he's not coming back. You understand? So now here we are. Make sure you do not bring her back here. Then Abraham said, the Lord, the God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's household and my native land, who spoke to me and promised me with an oath, to your offspring I will give this land. He will send his angels before you so that you can get a wife for my son and from there. If the woman is unwilling to come back with you, then you will be released from the oath, this oath of mine. Only do not take my son back there. So now, if you say, I'm trying to get you to be a bride of Christ, if I offer you Christ and you're unwilling, is that the Holy Spirit's problem? No. I'm free from the oath of you going back. Why? Because you refuse to go back. But if she's willing to come back, then bring her back, right? So this is an invitation to the bride, which we are many brides, because the whole body of Christ makes up one bride. Amen. If the woman is unwilling to come back, then you will be released from the oath. Only do not take my son back there. So the servant put his hand under his thigh of the master, and Abraham swore an oath to him concerning the matter. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and left, taking with him all kinds of goods from the master. And he set out for Aram Naharam and made his way to the town of Nahor. He had the camel kneeled down near the well outside of the town. It was toward evening, the time the women go out to draw water. Now, as the Holy Spirit has left, he's here doing what? He's looking for a bride. He's looking for you. He's looking for you. He's looking for you. He's looking for people who are willing to marry the king's son so he can take them back as the bride. He's looking. So he asked God, give me a sign. If I ask one of these ladies for water and she says, I'll give you water and your camels water, I'll know that's the one. And it happened exactly the way she said. She goes back. Does he have seven sisters? Six sisters? I'll have to read it. Anyway, Eleazar goes and meets the family. And of course, he's trying to tell the husband, the father of the bride, he's telling the father of the bride, I want to take your daughter back with me to marry my master's son. He's very wealthy and he has all kinds of goods and everything. And he even takes off a gold bracelet and puts it on her wrist, and he puts a gold earring in her nose, it says, and he's given her all of these gifts and trying to convince her to come back and marry the son, right? Which is what the Holy Spirit is doing here, trying to convince us to come back. But who has to agree?
The bride.
The bride has to agree. Okay. Let's read here. Okay. So, I'm going to get to the end of this because I don't want to run out of time. They go through this whole argument of, you know, well, she's willing to go. And then finally she says, I'm willing to go. Okay. So she agrees. Then it says, verse 55, but her brothers and her mothers said, let the girl remain with us 10 days, then you may go. But he said to them, do not detain me now that the Lord has granted success to my journey. Send me on my way so I may go to the master. And they said, let's call the girl and ask her. So they called Rebekah and asked her, and it says, will you go with this man? And she says, I will go. So they sent their sister Rebekah on her way, along with her nurse and Abraham's servant and his men, and they blessed Rebekah and said to her, our sister, may you increase thousands upon thousands. May your offspring possess the gates of your enemy. Then Rebekah and her maids got ready and mounted their camels and went back with the man, right? So they, you know, they were real good athletes, so they just jumped up on those camels. Or do you think they was lifted up from the earth? So you think the bride's going to be lifted up from the earth? Okay. And now that she's been lifted up and put on the camel from the earth, the servant took Rebekah and left. Now Isaac is representing who? Jesus Christ. Isaac had come from Baal Lahairoi, okay? For he was living in Negev. He went out to the field wanting to meditate. Now, he's not at his father's house when he's going to meet his bride. He goes to Negev, which is down south in the southern section from his father's house. So he goes down to the Negev, and this is where he meets his bride. Once he meets his bride, they have to go back up to his father's house. Wow. Is that crazy? But that's the way God wrote it. Now watch this. It says, now Isaac had come from Baal Lahairoi, the land of living water, of which I see. And he says, for he was living in Negev. And he went out to the field one evening to meditate. As he looked, he saw the camel approaching. Rebekah also looked up and saw Isaac. She got down from the camel and asked the servant, who is that man in the field coming to meet her? Now, she's saying that, why? She's never met her husband. She's never seen him. When we see Jesus, is it the first time?
Yes.
But she was willing to marry somebody she'd never seen, but just heard about. So here we are. He comes down south, because he has to come down to the cloud first, right? After he comes down to the cloud and he gets her, they go back up for the wedding. Listen to this. He said, he is my master. The servant answered, so he took her veil and covered herself. Then the servant told Isaac all that he had done, and Isaac brought her into the tent of her mother Sarah, and he married Rebekah, so she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after the death of his mother. Now, the whole thing about the reading of 27th of Heshvan is to read about Isaac's mother, to read about her death, to read about Eleazar and what he did to bring Isaac a bride. But you're reading it during the month of Heshvan, okay? And so what I'm trying to tell you is dates are important to God, okay? When I told you that after 120 years that the flood began on the 17th of Heshvan, now, for us, we're thinking that God is just saying, oh, let's just do it 120 years from now. But that was all based on Eve. And one of the things in the back that they talk about, the beginning in Heshvan, the beginning of the story that they begin talking about is the calm after the storm. Okay, look at this page where Pastor Ben got this beautiful picture. Okay, this is what we're going to talk about on Heshvan 27. We're going to talk about the calm after the storm. After what storm? The flood. Okay, we're going to talk about Eve. About what about Eve? About her sin. And then what happened? What now? Eve is called support, which is Semek. What is the numerical value of Semek? 120. So God says, hey, since Eve's value of her title is Semek, which means the support, is 120, the flood that's going to happen will be in 120 years on the same day that Eve spoke to the serpent, on the exact same day, okay? And we're not thinking that God's up there planning and that we went through this past year for a reason. Jesus is there standing. And they said, Jesus, give us a sign what's going to happen in the end. And he says, you people are always looking for a sign. There will be no sign except the sign of Jonah and the whale. And we thought, oh, well, it must be that when the end comes, you know, It'll be a sign. Well, we had a sign. It's time. Go look it up. I watched the whole documentary. Guy got swallowed by a whale this past year. Got swallowed. Not this past year. In this year, right? He got swallowed by a whale and spit him back up. They did a whole documentary. He'd been on every talk show. He said he's not lying. His friend's like, he's not lying. I was there. I was in the boat. I was wondering what happened. I saw the whale flapping around. So obviously the whale was uncomfortable with him being inside of him and was trying to get him out. And he says, all of a sudden, I see my friend come flying up in the air, legs this way, and he hits the water. And he says, I pull him in. And he says, what happened? He says, I was inside that whale.
10 minutes, Pastor.
It happened this year. So there's your sign.
Yeah.
So God is like telling us in every possible way. Why did God make the lightning strike Washington, D.C. on the 9th of Av? God said, I did it so you'll know that you're in perfect timing, that your calendar and my calendar are on point, okay? Because we needed to know, was it the 9th of Av or not? Because if it's the 9th of Av, something should happen. Mm-hmm. Well, the month before, nothing happened, so something happened. But God let you see it happen. And he made sure I talked about it a month before.
Yep.
So rather you want to believe it or not, we're at the end of time. I'm sitting in my house today, and the Lord said, you can tell them or you can not tell them. It doesn't matter to me. I'm in my house, and I'm like, well, I'm going to be 60. The Lord said, you're not going to be 60 this year. You will not turn 60 here. My birthday is 26. Summer harvest is over on the 30th. So I do not expect to turn 60 on earth. I expect to be dancing in a cloud before my birthday, okay? We're in this year. We can sit and pretend that God is going to allow his church and his people to be overran by Satan. And now you need this green pass or whatever you need, travel, and you better take our shot and all this. One of the basketball players, he just gave in. He just said, just give it to me then. But that's what he wanted a religious exemption. And it was like, well, religious exemption or not, we're not going to pay you and you're going to lose this millions of dollars. So he went ahead and did it. But the Lord told me something today. That little piece of steel that goes inside when they give you that, and then people are putting magnets on their shoulders, and even Ryan from here, Brett from here, his mother, he put the iron on his mother's shoulder and it just stayed. And she said she started crying, right? It's like, what have I done? But the Lord showed me today, he said, if they're my children and they took it, when they come looking for them, because they're going to come looking for that because it's on radar. He said, when they come looking for it, that's all they're going to find is that. Because my children will be gone.
Yeah.
So they haven't done anything to my children. Okay? So we have to understand, if you read Revelation, God wins, his church wins, and the beginning of the tribulation has to come.
Yes.
It has to come. Because God already marked that it's coming. And the 120th flood already started. And now we're at the end of it. Almost at the end of summer, and I am ready to go. I was so happy today. I was like, Lord, it's going to be so amazing to just be lifted up out of here to say, you know what? Nothing for us will ever be the same, and nothing on that earth will ever be the same, because we'll be back. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.